package. This as a reminder, the purpose of this project is to download the lots of information that is available on SCC's website and its FTP site and feed it into a system that can draw relationships out of it. So in my last presentation, I basically, this is where I left off, I gave you an overview of the STP site, what it looks like, and we talked about the different options that we have in downloading that information, which is in fact the various forms that the public companies submit to the SEC over the period of the year. So this is what the STP site looks like, and we were looking at different options like going directly into the data folder, which contains all the forms in text format, or the second option we were looking at was going into the feed folder, which contains the non-cooked file format. So ultimately, what we did was we decided to go with the non-cooked files, even though they are a slight overkill for this purpose, but it gives us a lot more flexibility in the future if this PostScript that you're writing needs to be formatted or changed to include something else. We already have all the data in the form of non-cooked file format.
What's NC again? I'm sorry.
NC stands for non-cooked. That's their terminology.
Non-cooked.
C-O-O-K-E-D. Non-cooked.
Wait. So they have, the SEC has books, financial records that are cooked and not cooked?
Cooked is what goes into the data folder in the text format.
Okay.
So this is, I'm going to show you the exact format of a non-cooked file in a moment. So this is just an overview of what we are doing. We are downloading, we have a PostScript that goes and downloads that NC.NC non-cooked file every night. It unzips it and passes through all the files which are in the non-cooked format and gets only the forms that are of interest to us. That's 10K, 10Q, and some others.
And so the reason it's more flexible is if we later decide that we're interested in other forms, you thought you already have
those. Forms, so, yeah.
Okay, fine.
We're looking at other information. We already have that information. But since an unzipped non-cooked folder can take about 300, 400, or half a gig in size, so what we're doing right now is after the parsing is done, we delete the folder. We get what we want, and then we throw away the shell. And
you could always download these again? Are they kept forever at a SEC?
Yeah, they're always there if you need to see them again. Yeah. But just to save space, we can clean up what we don't need. So, this is a non-cooked file format. It's basic. Well, let me show you a sample for a second. This is what a non-cooked file looks like. This is just one, this is the beginning of it, and as you can see, there are a lot of SGML tags. These are SEC's SGML tags that they use to describe the information that is in the form. Some of it is pretty self-explanatory, like type is the type of the form, and filing date, and company name, CIK. This is the central indexing key and address, phone numbers, contact information, and the number of documents that are in the form. So we do use some of that information while parsing the form. Like we use the type to decide if we really want to parse any further or not. And we also use the name of the company and the number of documents that are in the form. In this file itself. So that's what it looks like. And
once you get past this header, it's mostly real text, right? Or fairly marked up, or?
Well, it's not really text. It could be anything. It could be PDF, it could be text. This is the second page of the same thing. And as you see, in this case, this is HTML. So this is what you'll see in there on HTML dump. You take the whole thing and dump it into this file. That's why it's called non-cooked, and you have to clean it up. So in that sense, it's a little bit more work to clean up this stuff. But what you can do is you can tell by looking at these tags that what comes next. Like here, the text tag tells you the beginning of a document, and then you can look at the second tag, which is the HTML tag, and you can tell that HTML follows So there's ways to parse it. That's what we are following. And we are making some assumptions about the nature of these files. I didn't find any documentation on the HTML format. And I guess SEC did not intend for anyone to go parsing through these. Another thing about the NC files is that they have only one form. So you can have multiple documents related to the same form, but it's actually just one form. It's different parts of the same form. So what we do is we take out, we convert HTML into text or XML just as a dump, and text is plain text, and we convert it into a format that can be used by your own system, which looks something like this. Which has an article tag for every article, and all the forms that we parse go into one single file, which is an XML file. And we parse the HTML or text or XML, and it all goes in the under contents as a text dump. And this will then be fed into the system and parsed for the relations from. So that's pretty much it, and the script is almost ready. So some work needs to be done, like removing the HTML tables and so and cleaning up some other stuff. But pretty much, the scripting is working.
How much has to get downloaded each day?
How much? Like last time I mentioned, the non-scope zip file could be between 60 to 400 megs. But it's on an average, it's about 100 megs.
And so that's easy to download in a few minutes. That can be downloaded in less than a what? Less than an hour, okay. Mm-hmm. But more than a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you were in downloading...
What?
Process 400 megs.
It can be, but usually it's like 60 to 80, 100. On the last day of a quarter, you may get something like 100, 140, sometimes even more.
And so you're basically you're going to have an agent that is going to, or script
mm-hmm.
that is going to every night go through, download this,
yeah.
parse this, prepare this for his system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two questions. One is about past history. Suppose that you want to get all the files from, let's say you want to get all the reports for the last 2 years or so. Is that something that can be downloaded?
Yeah, well, you'll have to go back and download the entire non-food file for the last 2 years. That will be downloading a lot of stuff.
Is there some reason why that can't be done? Is that an easy thing to do and to prepare for you?
The same script can be used to do that too. It'll take a lot of time because you download.
Well, you've got 3 weeks till you graduate. So the question is that something that is a reasonable thing to prepare to figure out how to download everything?
Well, we can just go in there and copy and paste all the files. We don't even have to use our script or modify our script. We can grab the files from there.
Is it easier? Would it be easier to do that with a script or with a just a download?
You know?
I know it'll be less, depending on the number of business days and the
fee.
Okay. So that might be a good thing to sort of have as, let's say, one of your goals. So what I would like to see, if, let's say, we want a set of goals for you to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Not to graduate. You know, presumably there'll be other goals. One thing we would like to do is we'd like to say, basically, I want all past files.
All past files?
Let's say files, and you can define all as is appropriate.
Okay.
You want to show me that you've got your active download processing working. So this should be done with some history to show that you've got it working for at least a couple of weeks and it's not breaking. Right? That seems like a good thing. As far as it should be passing through all of your system. Okay, and so not choking on weird stuff that you... How clear is it that what you have after this is text that can be processed versus a lot of weird symbols that you didn't properly extract.
Well, I tried running this on a couple of files with ADEX HTML, and we were able to convert HTML into a text dump.
Yeah.
But that text dump has some tables in it which show up as like just plain text now. So we wanted to remove those tables from there.
Okay. Do you know how you might remove those tables?
Not yet.
Okay. It would be nice to sort of, again, you know, it would be nice to do table removal. Okay. My dream is actually to give you the sheet. Either give it to you or email it to you.
Okay.
Afterwards. Maybe email it, that way I can hold you to it.
Okay.
That would be nice. What else? Are there any other? So you're basically going to do this. How big are the files for each day once you finish throwing out the garbage?
I
mean, ballpark figure out of that 40 gigabytes compressed everything.
2 or 3 minutes, that's what I was saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be more than that.
So that is not a substantial thing for you to be processing. Okay? And it's fair for you to sort of show me what a, let's say, the list of actors is after running all corporate statements for the last 2 years. Is that sort of a fair thing to say? Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Well, that's why you guys negotiate what that is. So basically, what you're talking about is basically actor list for all statements. Okay. So beyond this, I guess what else would be desirable for you to turn in? Presumably, you should be giving. There should be the equivalent of a documentation and a report written of what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's sort of got to be such that it can be carried on beyond this.
So basically, I'm commenting the code, so that would also help.
Okay. And presumably, you'll also give some kind of what I would call, you know, you will provide some kind of a user documentation. That code documentation, so that somehow in the event that both of you die in a plane crash, someone can can figure out what actually is happening and keep this thing alive. Is that a fair statement?
Or maybe we can just fly on different planes.
Okay, we can hope for that. Anything else that actually I think is fair if it's done. But I'd like to see the table removal and all this sort of working.
Okay, and what was the first thing that you mentioned?
So all fast files, active download script,
okay.
And I want to see, let's say, at least 1 week working.
Okay. And table removal.
Table removal. I would like to see that. I think that's sort of important that the crap be stripped out of this thing.
Okay. I'm not sure. The system cannot pass tables. Is that the main reason why
we're
going to take out the tables?
The reason is because he's somehow expecting text. Okay, and it would be good if you know at the time that you're downloading this thing and preparing it for him that something is garbage.
Okay.
It shouldn't be passed on to him. One possibility is he can look at the file later on and say this is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much easier probably to do it at the source level. Okay.
Because we may not know, just by, you know, you'll be processing a lot of files. I guess your system may produce errors or log files that we can either look at and see.
Right. But more than that, you should be able to look at, in a document, where are the tables.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And show that, let's say, you convince yourself that that's not actually getting into the files downstream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so when somehow we look at the actors that are produced by analyzing these files, that we don't see a lot of weird stuff from broken commands and stuff like that that's left in there. Okay. How many files have you processed so far?
I've been primarily working on just one because the purpose has been to get the script to work properly, not to...
Well, okay, but one question is whether or not you're going to find more and more problems
yeah.
here.
We'll have to do, when we do the run for the last 2 years, probably that's when we'll exactly find out.
Okay. The other question is, you would probably like this thing integrated with what you're doing, right? Is this going to happen automatically as a part of what he's doing? So basically. Okay. And what about things like error logging and stuff like that? Would he be doing that properly, or is that the wrong level at which to be doing that?
Well, I mean, I guess he should have
something. I do have error logs, and right now we're running the script from cron.
Right.
So we can probably direct the output to the file. And
okay. So talk to Levon. You should make sure there should be some error logging. And Levon knows what I mean by error logging. Okay? Anything else? Or is that basically what we think is fair? Okay, so you do that, you will graduate. Okay? Any other questions?
No.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. I'm happy with that. Okay, fine. Okay, now we had an a rearrangement. Let's have the factoring group show. Yes, when you've done. Okay.
I'll start off with first what we've done recently, and my partner will then elaborate more on that. As you know, we've been sector exposure models for minimizing the risk in a security portfolio. Right now what we've done is we have a Java program that can basically get you historical stock prices from the CPS market website. We also have a program that gets you the value of such various indices like airline indices and oil indexes and all that. I'll talk about them next slide. We also got data on the U.S. federal funds rate. This was tricky because this isn't very well easily available in quite a few sites, surprisingly. They talk about individual data, but they don't give you historical data very easily. And we then ran the program to get three years worth of daily adjusted prices on five different stocks and 22 airline indices.
Why for the stock prices don't you use the database that, let's say, we have?
Well, the problem was we had to get the whole thing synchronized. And if the nth element in a file of containing just the stock prices of, say, Microsoft for a given period, the nth element in that list should correspond with the corresponding element in the nth element in the indices here. Because we wanted the dates to be synchronized, and doing that manually is just too much work. So since we're going to write a program to get the index values for different indexes, we figured out that there's no way we'd be able to synchronize, because we didn't want to work with the dates. We didn't want a column in the file to be of all dates, because that's just junk values that no necessarily need to be for, that's just adding to the processing. So what we did is all the files that are there, the first element in the first file, in the first, for example, the first price in the Microsoft file, and the first price in the IBM file, and the first price in the index table, where all the index prices are given, they are all on the same date. Basically, we might get it synchronized. The other thing.
Well, wait, no. Okay, what I'm wondering about is why it would seem like it would be better. Space is cheap, okay, somehow.
So have the dates on the.
So why shouldn't you have the dates? If you had the dates. Wouldn't that enable you to...
Makes it easier. I think we're going to use MATLAB for the input, so it makes it easier to just have a clean file with just the software. It's just like a huge matrix.
Okay. So what you're saying is that... So you're not... Right now, what you're producing is not going to be something that is... Okay. When you say you're going to have... Okay. Why do you say keep going then? Okay. Why
don't you talk to that? Okay. So basically... The CBS market website is pretty good in the sense that it has a lot of data. You can get the stock prices from going way back. But the only problem was that the HTML that was behind the page was actually quite jumbled up. It wasn't uniform in the sense that some tags were present in some certain stock prices and some tags were not. That was a big problem in text processing. We had to figure out how to, because there were three or four different types of encoding they used. And so we had to figure out which type of encoding was used for a given stock. So that took a lot of time because, especially indices, some indices, some of them had adjusted prices and some of them didn't have adjusted prices. As in, there was no stock split. So we had to figure, and the adjusted prices kick in only when the day on which the stock was split or the stock was joined together. So that was the other thing that we had to figure out, and that took some time. But ultimately, we got that working, and now we have data collection tool that is automated, and basically it lets you give the stock the set of stocks that you want the prices for, and the start and the end date, and it gets you the data and it basically gives it in a tab. Spaces format, which can be opened by Excel directly, and so that's actually pretty neat. Now we're just trying to get I'm trying to build a GUI for it. Actually, I'm halfway there, and so that anybody could just click and choose from the calendar the starting end dates and choose a symbol and get the set of prices.
Would you be better off with a GUI, or would you be better off with something that is a program?
It's a program, basically. The GUI would just be an interface to the core.
Okay, but I mean, somehow what I would think is probably more interesting is not so much if somebody. Be able that it be something that a person be able to use.
Okay.
But it'd be more important that probably a
like
program
an
be
API
able to
or
use.
Something like that?
Yeah.
That's there already. I mean, it's there in the back end.
You're convinced that someone could take your code and easily write a program to download it, not for your 22
yes.
stocks, five stocks.
Any number of stocks.
So why did you use five stocks and not 100 stocks?
Because that's just for the initial building a basic model. I just took five different stocks, as in we took IBM, we took Microsoft, I took General Motors, I took Exxon Mobil, and there's one more construction stock, I forget the name of the company. So I just took five different stocks to just do a basic, simple model.
Right.
Because the thing takes a long time to run, actually. So we took the data for 3 years on a daily basis, and so it took about 8 to 10 hours just to run the data for those individual stocks. So because that go and it gets the stock in the price individually one by one. So you have to basically cycle through.
We get one day at a time?
One day at a time.
Okay.
And the other problem was that that was stage.
Where are you running this, by the way?
I'm running it in my lab.
In your lab?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they get unfriendly with you, it's your lab that.
It's actually my machine. So I just run it at night. I started off at like 12 at night, and I come back in the morning, and the file's there.
Okay. The people who are using the database here, the one that we have actually, the one that we downloaded. Are there dates associated with every price?
Yep.
So it is not a question that that there's sort of a start date and it downloads from there. So in other words, my question is now, why couldn't you use the database that they have?
Well, the reason we didn't use the database was we actually had a look at the database. Like,
right.
We were planning to use the database, but the thing was we didn't have the index values. So I actually built a tool for the indexes, and then I just extrapolated that to the stock prices. And once I got the data for the indexes, I had to manually get the data from the database and synchronize them in the dates, as I told you in the beginning. Like the first element had to be in the Microsoft, the first stock price, and the first stock price in the IBM file, and the first stock price in the index file. They all had to be the same. And rather than doing that manually, I just thought, well, if I'm going to mine the stock index price, I might as well. I just have to do a little bit more extension to the core program, and I got an extra couple of functions which basically do the same thing with the stock prices. So the whole thing gets synchronized. I mean, and I'm able to control the format. So I guess we wanted to do more control and a little more flexibility, I guess.
Okay. The reason why is because I think I like your indices. I'd like to own your indices in our database.
Oh, okay.
And so
the system is now such that you could just put the symbol in, and it can get you the
symbol of an index.
Symbol of an index or a stock.
Are there more than 22 indices out there?
There are a lot more, actually, but we just took certain. Yeah. We just took a basic set of indices that which seemed to cover a lot of industries, and which had a lot of history because some of the indices were quite new. There were a couple of indices which was actually I started with a set of 25 indices, and I will only use data for 1 year. But then we took it back to 3 years. There are a couple of those indices didn't exist 3 years back. So I just had a null column, and I thought, okay, I might as well ignore those indexes.
Okay, let's get.
I have the slide on the index. I'm using it.
Okay, anyway, you can do it.
So now the data collection and parsing is automatic. So and date synchronization. That's what I was talking about. Date synchronization, because that's a big problem. Because when you have so many numbers, it's very easy to get even one number mixed up, and then you might have errors in your calculation. So that was that's why I wanted to collect the data ourselves. And these are indices that I'm using right now. There's the American, the airline index, which is basically a collection of airline stocks, the bank sector index, which has a lot of big banks like Morgan Stanley and all that, the biotech index, which has a lot of biotech stocks, securities index. There's a Morgan Stanley consumer index, which has a lot of consumer stocks. And so the software index has a lot of software companies. The disk drive index has a lot of disk drive manufacturers. And the street.com has an internet index with a lot of the popular companies like Adobe.
These are like one
Amazon.
Value per day?
Exactly. For example, the oil index has about a dozen stocks, dozen oil, major oil companies, and the weighted sum of their prices for that day represents the value of the oil index for that day. The only problem was a lot of these indexes had splits as well, because the stocks in them had splits. So tracking down where the day on which they changed over, because when there was no split, the rendering of the web page is different to when there was a split. So we had to kind of, to track that down when you get the data, so that you adjust for that and get the correct value. Because when there is no there will be no adjusted price. Only when there's a split will that index have an adjusted price. And the adjusted price will kick in only the day after the split happens. So if the split happened today at 5 p.m., the adjusted price would come into effect from today and the day and all history behind me. And from tomorrow, there would be no adjusted price, because tomorrow would be the actual price. So that was the only thing that we had to figure out. And
wait, so you mean these are the indices that their website produces, right?
Yep.
Do you know which stocks are in the index at any time?
Yep. I've actually given a link on our project homepage to a site that gives you the composition of each of those indexes.
And these indices change over, the compositions change over time, right?
Oh, yeah. Some of them
are... So the historical compositions of these indices on that MarketWatch?
Well, I guess they've always taken the 12 best stocks or the 10 best stocks, which best represent the industry. So I guess you could use it as a fair measure of how that industry is doing. I mean, if an oil company that was there 10 years ago, or say a telecom an energy company like Enron, should have probably been in the index 10 years ago, because it was one of the biggest companies at that time, but today it won't be on the list because it's not there. But then again, just representing Enron wouldn't be a fair representation of the energy market, because there would be bigger companies should be doing better. So I guess the index will always represent the best companies.
So I understand what these indices are doing.
Mm-hmm.
The MarketWatch site has a portfolio, essentially, mm-hmm. for each one of these companies.
Yep.
It's storing a portfolio. It is not storing a number that recorded someplace.
Well, actually, this is a number that's recorded someplace.
But there are still issues with splits?
Exactly, because suppose you have one of the composite stocks in the airline index. For example, one airline decides to split its stocks. Then the way it affects the composition would get changed, I guess, because that's the only reason I could figure out why there was a split. I'm not totally sure on that, but I could look it up and maybe know. But there were splits in the. I was surprised actually. I assumed that the index wouldn't have split in the adjusted prices for them, but they did have it. So
indices shouldn't have splits unless, if I'm guessing on this MarketWatch site, that index may very well be implemented as just a portfolio. Which stocks?
It's actually a composition, but these are very professionally managed. Example, this is owned by this is basically given to you by Standard & Poor's. It's not like MarketWatch takes care of it. I mean, you'd get this price even on Yahoo.
And it's the same thing on Yahoo.
It's the same on Yahoo. The only problem is Yahoo doesn't give you a historical values.
Right.
It gives you the latest values. So you could get today's values for the Standard & Poor's Retail Index or the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the Nasdaq 100 or the Morgan Stanley Consumer Index, but you won't be able to get the historical data. So that's why we use MarketWatch.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Then, regards to what other resources that we have our project website up at this week, and basically I'm trying to basically web enable this data collection tool so that anybody else could probably choose the data that he wants, and then you could receive a text file, a tab space text file, which you would then either in his email, with the download data that we download overnight or something, And if you could get space on some web server, you could probably do it. It's not too hard, I mean. So,
okay. So send me the link. Send me the link.
Okay, I can email it to me.
Okay, so.
So actually, this project is about the risk management, and Natasha and I divided the work into two parts. He manages the data collection part, and I manage the modeling part. So let me introduce the modeling part. The motivation of this project is to do a good risk management of security portfolio. Actually, risk management has a very wide application. First of all, the most obvious reason is that it can quantitatively evaluate a security's performance. For example, when you get the success factor model, then you just adjusting all of the other risk, then you compare the constant return with the interest, with the risk-free interest return. If the constant return is far larger than the risk-free interest rate return, it is very obvious that this security is a very good one. And another application is that it can quantitatively calculate its risk to a specific factor, such as, for example, for IBM, if we want to know how much correlation the IBM is to the market, then we can just see it directly from the model. And of course, you can see the IBM's correlation to all other factors which appearing in the model. More advanced application for the risk management system is to help the portfolio optimization. So usually portfolio optimization requires a very large correlation matrix, but it cannot be the correlation matrix cannot be get directly by computation. The reason is that assume that we have n securities and the n number is very large, but so we need to calculate n multiple n minus 1 divide 2 covariances, and we only have t data points. So the problem appears when the n is larger than t, then the matrix will be singular. So the dominant of the matrix is zero. At this time, the correlation matrix becomes unreliable. So, for example, there are thousands of exchanges in the exchange, thousands of securities in exchange, but in 2 years, only 512 standard data for it. So actually, it's very obvious that n is larger than t. At this time, you cannot directly calculate the correlation matrix.
You clearly can calculate it. What you're saying is that it's going to look like there is more data in this correlation matrix than there was in the original data source.
Yes.
That's basically what you're saying.
Yes. So you may ask a question, why do I use more years than data? For example, 10 years or 20 years. In this case, the n will less than that data, possibly. Yeah, that's a good question. But another problem is that 10 years before model is much different from now. So for example, before September 11th, the market model is quite different from now. So that's why. And the rule of thumb, according to the rule of thumb, usually if you want to do the risk management for the next 2 years, then you only use the 2 years before data. So the third application for the risk management is to customize the portfolio optimization requirement. A simple example is that if the customer just wants to have a portfolio which is immune to the prevalence of the gold factor, when the gold price up or down, he wants his portfolio has no infection on it. So if we have this model, then we can just to choose the portfolios, to choose the securities in the portfolio, to make that and the coefficients of the golden multiply its weight, the sum of this value is equal to zero.
So you're saying that some things are positively correlated, some things are negatively correlated, and they cancel each other out.
Yes. Just something that's diversified. But because we have the model, so we have the coefficients for the gold factor, so that we can easily do it. Here goes the second Hilliard model. Actually, the most basic one model for the risk management might be the capital asset price model, which is introduced by professor in class. So actually, according to the theory, the stock price is just decided by the market. The stock return is just decided by the market return and the risk-free interest rate. So the theory just divides all of the securities into two camps. One is the system, that is the market, and the other is the firm specific. So he thinks that all of the firm specific item retain factors can be diversified by choosing a good portfolio, so that the risk of the retain of the security can just be expressed by the two items. It's very simple, but it's oversimplified, because in fact, when the in fact, this simple fact theory cannot capture the movement of liquidity of the market. So that's this problem. Now, because the problem of the simple cap model, the sector exposure model is derived. And the sector exposure model is just like this one. It includes not only the market, one of these might be the market. And besides that, it has many other factors. So the idea is that it seems that multiple, besides market, multiple factors can affect the expected return, such as the country, the geography, information.
So what kind of models are you going to be making for?
The sector exposure model.
Okay, so tell me how you're going to do it.
Okay.
I see a frighteningly large stack of slides remaining, so I just want to make sure that we don't get too put up here.
So here you go. So to build the sector exposure model, we need the method of multiple regression. So multiple regression is a statistical method to just regress with more than one independent variable. And so by doing this one, the stock returns can be regressed against the market and additional multiple variables. Theoretically, there is no upper limit on the number of variables. But it seems very simple because there is an existing mathematical method for it, but actually it's not simple. It's not as easy as it seems. The reason is that the regression analysis is based on many assumptions. One of the most common problems for the multiple regression is multicollinearity. So the problem is that when there are two or more independent variables has a high correlation between them, then at this time the multiple regression will become unreliable. So the most obvious problem is that it will distort the coefficient standard errors. And as a result, the t-test for the significance, statistical significance of the parameter will be error. I'll show you the example when I go to the model. So first, data requirement for the set model. This is our ideal model, and we want to, so we can choose as much as possible, as many as possible factors, but how can we know that which one should be the general characteristic? So it needs us to do the multiple regression. First, since we have many factors, it needs a large number of data. So this part is done by my partner. And the possible problems for the data is that we need to adjust the closed data. That's the open price, that's the closed price, that's the highest one or lowest one of the day. It's adjusted closed price. The reason is that adjusting closed price includes information for dividends and, more important, for split information. So we need to adjust the close price. And by the way, obviously we need to retain that the real price. And another information is that for the size part, we cannot use the column for small and the column for large properly. The reason is that the two columns will be highly correlated. Actually, they are perfect, negative correlated. So we cannot use this. According to the mathematics theory, we need to just use it as small tag minus large tag as one column to the multiple regression.
But why is that? I don't see what you're saying here.
Actually, the theory part, I'm not clear about it also, but according to the statistics theory, if the two columns are highly correlated, then you need to just minus it so that their correlation will be eliminated. Because they are perfect negative correlated. So here we can just use here.
Is the argument that if you have two columns that are highly correlated, mm-hmm. one problem is you need a parameter. If you're coming up with your model here, mm-hmm. You need a parameter that you're fitting to it. And if they're extremely highly correlated, you know, those parameters are probably going to be very similar to each other. Okay, and that maybe it's better to
there is a requirement for the multiple regression method is that all of the columns need to be independent. So if we use these two
is it a requirement that the program to work, or is it a requirement for the numbers to have meaning?
No. Yeah. For the numbers to have meaning. So if we use the Z as two columns, then the result will be incorrect, just be wrong. So that's why this multiple regression is very time-costing, because we need to cost a lot of time to animate the factors which is highly correlated to other factors.
Okay. Do you have a program that is doing that elimination?
Yes.
Okay.
And the data part, there is another problem, is just consistency. So it's also stated by my partner that, for example, the April 9th, 2004, S&P 5 has data, but all other index have low data. And this can be understood because we did that, but February 4th of last year, S&P 500 and the software has no data, but all others have data.
That's
just
the S&P is closed for Groundhog Day.
For what?
Groundhog Day. but okay, what do you do in the case of missing data?
I just delete the entry for which have it, then close up to keep the data consistent for all of the index and the return of which I want.
Are you deleting a large fraction of your data? So now it's in one bad data item will cause you to delete that entire day.
Yes.
How many, what percentage of days are you deleting? Is it only those?
Just three days.
What?
In
90%
of the time,
or 99%
of the time?
99%.
Okay. So these are for 2 years and 3 days different.
Okay. If you're throwing out a lot of data, then you would want to look at an algorithm for interpolating what that data would be.
Yeah.
But if that's not okay, but if it's small, something like that, I think that's not a
very small number. So to build a simple model, because at first we just build our doing our job separately. So this model is just based on what I get, the data what I get from website directly, manually. It's not from my partner. So here is in order to show what's our model, where we look next. So I just build a very simple model for IBM. And the IBM used several factors, markets, airlines, banks, computer, internet, semiconductor, software, and the slides. All of the forward are indexes, and this is S&P 500. And size is using small cap and large cap mutual fund, because it's hard to find the small cap or large cap index directly. So I just use the mutual fund. The value should be the same, but since it's hard to find the index, I use the mutual fund. And data is just get from value. Yeah, because it's just a simple model as to how I need to work it. So I just assume that the interest rate is zero for all along the term.
How hard would it be to include? I mean, you're busy downloading lots of rates. Why aren't you factoring in? Are you downloading interest rates?
Well, my problem is that there is a simple question. I did get interest data from the other side, but surprisingly enough, the other side actually gave you a historical, other than one federal side. The other side actually gave me interest rate for API, for their things like since they're talking to the program. I spent a lot of time looking for that, so I couldn't get interest rate from this problem. So I have a huge data file, which I downloaded, which had interest rate in 1994. On a weekly basis, so I'll have to manually go and put it in. That's the only thing that I'm doing. Or I might write a program to open that file.
Yeah, because it might be interesting to, I mean, you'll keep going to have some kind of connection with interest rates here.
Actually, there is another function about the interest rate is that because we are doing the daily risk management for the IBM. So what we require the data for interest rate should be the daily interest rate. So you see, for example, $1 1 year is 0.001%, then it's divided by 365 days.
Right.
Then the number is really very small.
But aren't there equivalent of like bond funds or fixed interest funds that you could use as a proxy for the interest rate?
That's what I was talking about. But the thing was, we actually felt that we probably could avoid using the interest rate. Then we realized that your business is such that one that is one of the problems. So we probably substitute that with the
Okay, keep going. Sorry about that. We're going long. I know the power of the people are getting nervous.
So, in order to do the multiple regression, the idea is to optimize this value, to minimize the value. So, this is the index value, and this is the coefficient we want to calculate. And this is the real IBM return, as I said. So, all of this substitution square sum actually is the standard. Our purpose is to just minimize this number. And here, one is the IBM value return, and C is the value return of the indexes, and X is what we want to do. And the mathematics is this one. So this is the initial result for the model. And we have the X value for this one. So very interesting that the computer is the largest one. It's very reasonable because anyway, IBM is a computer company. But another reasonable one is the size, because this is a negative value. Because the size is stand for the small cap minus the large cap. So the negative value means that IBM is a large cap. Is a large company. But there is another interesting result that's very ironic, that's the market one. So you see, the market one is negative.
So what is the unit here? What is the unit of x? Are those correlation? Are those x numbers correlations?
Then this is a coefficient that was calculated out.
So don't those correlations depend upon absolute values of what this data that you're giving it is? So if I figure out the sign, I can believe may have some significance.
Mm-hmm.
But do the magnitudes have any significance? Because it depends upon, so internet companies may very well all be priced in pennies, okay?
Yeah.
Because no internet companies are worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas bank companies are priced in dollars,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so then the magnitudes here don't necessarily mean anything.
Excuse me, may I ask you what's the question again?
My question is, what is interesting here is what, okay? Because if the interest, if these numbers X, what are those numbers X?
The X is calculated directly from the multi-regression. And so actually...
So it's not the coefficient that you're using?
No. This value can be used as a coefficient as much, but to decide which one is, which value is significant or which one is not significant, you cannot use the X value directly because there is some error. So for example, this one, we cannot say computer is better than Anna. Oh, computer is better than silicon. Airline is just 0.5. So the error is very large.
Okay.
But the airline is just, then the difference is what we need, the airline is more. So in order to get rid of this impact, we need to calculate the standard of coefficiency, then from the t-test. So the t-test value can be used to decide which coefficient is significant and which one is not significant. But the problem here is that it's not so simple because we still cannot use a t-test because multiple columns are correlated. So there is a problem named multicollinearity, just mentioned before. So we need to do the stepwise regression.
No, I think we are probably to move on a little bit. It's actually kind of interesting.
This is a stepwise. So just keep seven slides. And this is a stepwise. So this is the final, this is the middle step result. And so this is the original result of the X value, the coefficient, and the t-test. And this time we use the adjusted R-square to measure the performance of our model. Actually, the so the regression R-square is a common method to measure the performance of a model. It doesn't see how much, what's the amount of the number that this model has is able to explain. So its value is equal to explained variation divided the total variation. If the value is more close to 1, then the model is more reliable. But since R-square has some problem and there is somebody introduced another one is adjusted R-square, then this one is reliable to really. So here we use the adjusted R-square to measure the performance of our model. And here, you see, the idea of the stepwise regression is that we use we calculated the original adjusted R-square, it's the 66%. That means 66% of the variation if it's explained by our model. But if we just delete the bucket, then this one in the adjusted regression R-square value will increase. That means that if we get rid of the market, the model will become better. So, in order to decide which column is need to be deleted, we just delete one by one and get the R-square value one by one, choose the largest one. compare the magic one, the first and the last one, this and this, because considering other items, I had done some covariance of the computer between these two, so I choose the software, get rid of it first. Then at this time, we have only the next columns. I delete each one again, and get the actual value again. Choose the last one, this time it is synchronized, and get rid of internet. Now, the next time get rid of market. And finally, we get a result. Here is our final simple model. So, final simple model only next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 columns with our airline, bank, computer, semiconductor, and the size. And so, after doing the stepwise regression, I can guarantee that these columns are almost independent by mathematical theorem. So at this time, the t-test is possible. I do the t-test again and to see which one is significant and which one is not significant. Now, if we take the significant level as 0.5%, that means t-test was used 500 data, so the t-test is almost as same as the standard normal. And if we take the just 0.5% of error, then if the value is larger than 1.9, then we think that is significant. Now look at this model. This one is less than 1.9, so I get rid of this one again. To do it, what's more? Now, the final result is that airline's coefficient is 0.04, and this one is 1.12, this one is 6.2, this one is -2.9. So, the final result for the IBM model is that it is effectively correlated with the computer mostly. Of course, because it's a computer company. And also, it's correlated to the airline. Airline is not so significant, but imagine that why IBM is correlated to the airline. The possible reason is that IBM is doing some machine business, so they need some transportation of the machine. This is one possible reason. Another possible reason is that IBM itself, the company, has some airline stock investment. And that is also significant because IBM do some business in e-commerce. And that's not part of the IBM's business. And the size, of course, is IBM is a large company, so this is the result of the first simple model for IBM. And future plans. Future plan is that better automatic and connecting part is done by your team, and so the one important part is we need to make sure the data is consistent with all of the different states. And I will do the model building and testing part. So actually, the team has finished, almost finished its data automatic connection part. So possibly we will do this one in an integrated two parts together in the future.
Okay, in the future means before the project is built?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's think, what is your fair thing that I expect to see from you?
Okay.
So, first of all, your stuff is written programmed in MATLAB?
Yes.
Where are you running it, if I may?
MATLAB.
What?
MATLAB. I run the program in MATLAB.
Wait, you wrote it in MATLAB?
Yes.
What computer are you running it on?
Windows. Just Windows.
And so you have stolen a copy of MATLAB, or do you own a copy of MATLAB?
I own a copy of MATLAB.
Okay, good. So it's running on your computer, basically.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So your, as far as the degree to which your stuff is going to be integrated, he is giving you data,
yes,
and you're creating some kind of a database or
a text file.
And you are taking going to take his text file and produce a model like this for every company. How much time does it take to take your program and come out with the final model.
I guess it costs lots of time because we need
how
to
long is
test
a lot of time? How long is a lot of time?
No, actually for IBM just a small part, small model for one company and cost the whole day.
Of what? Of your time or the computer time?
Of the computer time. No.
Okay, because you don't have 500 days between now and when your thing is due. So how are you going to do 500 companies between now and then?
So that depends on you. So ready to do the 500 or we only need to build a competitive model?
Well, the question is there a simpler model that is less, you seem to have been very diligent about how you're actually going about this. But I find that arguably there is not a less diligent but faster way to do your analysis. Okay? So it would seem to me that it would probably be good to do a, so you're worried a lot about saying, well, the t-test doesn't mean anything. The regression doesn't mean anything.
The first test, yeah.
Okay, well, one possibility is to say, well, Skinner says do it anyway. Okay?
To make the t-test mean something. So because we do the stepwise regression, so at last the t-test means something.
But one way to tell whether it means something is at the end is whether your model does a reasonable job of predicting. Okay, which should be something you can measure after the fact.
But actually this is a risk management model. It's not a model to do the prediction. It's actually a reasonable evaluation for the model, I think it should be for the existing data, because it's not to do the predicting. Or we can just provide the correlation part to other projects, because such as the application part, I said it can provide a very reliable correlation.
So here's what I think we want to do. So basically, is your analysis done by a single program, and it just takes a day for you to get an answer?
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing that I'd like to see you do is, again, prepare analyses prepare good analyses for, let's say, 10 companies.
Okay. So actually, I feel
and assess how well it is, how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is prepare crummy analyses, bad analyses, or 500 companies,
okay.
And assess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's what I'd kind of be interested in seeing, because my sense is that a lot of what you're, that there's a faster way to get almost what you think you're getting, okay, and that's something that should be runnable between now and then. Does
okay.
that sound like a fair thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do I want to see from you? I want to see good assessment of 10 companies, bad assessment of 500 companies. Bad meaning less costly, right? Okay, I mean, ideally bad would be good, but bad means fast. Let's say bad means fast.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I want
to. Doesn't mean we don't need to do the t-test or
doesn't mean what, I don't know what it means. What I want to see is that you've got a model,
mm-hmm.
and I want to see some assessment of how good your model is.
Okay.
So it'd be nice if you sort of said, well, look, here are 10 careful ones I've done right, here are the 10 ones I've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they're worse, but hey, maybe they're not so much worse.
Yeah, so if we do more work, then this will can be good.
Okay, so I then want to see a report on your methodology,
mm-hmm.
on methodology and results, and a website with everything.
Okay.
And one website for the two of you,
yeah,
right?
I think Mercurial is basically what you've done to know.
Okay, so it should have reflecting what both of you guys are doing. Okay, I think that's basically what I have in mind. Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Let's get Metallica really quickly. Where's the Metallica group? Okay, very quick, and then you guys can go. Okay, I'm sorry. I tried to add you guys earlier, but you were late, so you paid the price. Okay. Go. Okay, so this is plain text printouts. trust that. Tell us what I said. So,
this is the big issue distribution analysis. So, what we're trying to do here is there's actually a Benford's law, which actually says if you have, if you look at the frequencies of the first digit, frequencies for various kinds of data, which includes population statistics, data for all the stock prices for one day, something like that. You see a particular pattern emerge for the first digit, where one would expect each of the first digits to be equally distributed, but you actually see a trend where one number is 30% of the time, two numbers 80% of the time, and so on and so forth. So what we were wondering was, would there be a trend like that with the second digit of the stock prices? Considering that because of psychological factors, you might see that the second digit is skewed either towards 0 or 9 rather than any of the other digits. So that was basically an analysis that we did, where we actually looked at the second digit of the stock prices for various periods of time and just tried to analyze if there was a certain trend. Look at, and what we found was this is the first, second, and third digit frequencies between 71 and 1981. So tell us if there's anything interesting.
So basically, if there are. If the number of stocks is pretty high, we do see that at some points of time the values of 0 and 9, the percentage of 0 and 9 are pretty high. But there are times when even the middle digits, that is 4 and 5, have a higher percentage of occurrence than any of the other digits. As we go lower, of course, as the number of stocks at a particular this has been broken down into batches of 10, for example. So stock price between 0 and 10, we measure the first digit. Between 10 and 100, we look at the second digit, and above that, we look at the third digit. And once again, breaking up into batches of 10. And but as the number of stocks decreases, the probability of 0 is very high, and it just exponentially reduces the number for the other digits. So there isn't too interesting a trend there, but I was talking to the professor about it, and thought that perhaps something like a derivative analysis would turn out to be more significant. I also have results here. Okay, this is even worse. The printer just printed out everything. Okay, I'll just explain what this is. This is actually the time horizon drop off. So what we have here is the time horizon is we calculate something called a B metric, which is we're trying to figure out if the stock price today is either closer or closer to the 52-week high or the 52-week low for the previous year's period, would a metric based on that value be of any interest to us as far as predicting the next days or the next weeks or the next month's return? So that's basically what we're trying to do here. So what we do is we calculate the B metric. So what we have is we're looking at today's stock price. So we want to figure out if today's B metric would actually be able to predict
the order was returned, or a week's return now, or a month's return now. So what we have is, we have the state stock price. So what we do is we take 1 year's data for that day. We calculate the 52-week, the highest from that, lowest from that, and then the B metric for this day is actually the value on that day, which I will call X, minus the low, divided by the high, minus the low. And so we actually calculate the 52-week high as a moving calculation. So for example, if we are doing this analysis between a particular team, so we would actually take the year data for every day as the days advance towards the TV. And in fact, as you see here, so I actually have the B metric array here and the returns array, which you can't quite see. But I actually have the correlation coefficient here. So initially, what we'd done was we'd actually calculated today's B metric, and we were seeing if that had a correlation with today's returns itself. So that didn't quite make sense, and we found out that there was a totally negative correlation. But here, we do see that there is a vague positive correlation. In fact, at some points of time, we do find a correlation coefficient of something like 0.4. But
between what and what?
Between yesterday's B metric and the daily return, next day's return. But it's not consistent. So not every correlation coefficient is as high as that. So we actually have a correlation coefficient of something like negative 0.02 and 0.01, something of the order of 0.01, 0.02, something like that.
Okay.
And we even did this for the weekly and the monthly returns. So even those turn out to be pretty. Yeah. They turn out to be pretty much the same. So I mean, there is definitely a positive correlation, but it's not significant enough to say that you can actually use a B metric to.
Okay. What I want you guys to do, you guys have done a bunch of analyses, okay, over the semester. Some of them have been done correctly, some have been done incorrectly. Some of them are incomplete, like you've got correlation matrices from 1980, but not 1981, or not 2001, or things like that. What I really want you to do is that for all the studies that you have done, I want you to make sure that what you have done is correct. This means go back and think about whether it really is right. I want to make sure that your results are complete, that you've run all the examples and stuff, you know, stuff like that. Okay. I want you to have a job, make sure that it's well described exactly what you did and what the results were. Okay. And what the program is that you computed it with. Okay. So what I want to be able to do is to go to your website at the end of the semester and say, okay, here's where we have studies of correlations, and you know, show me that that's sort of logically complete, and there's not missing data, and that the studies are well-founded, and they're not wrong, okay? And I want you to have a description of whether there's any signal in there that you noticed, okay? And what did you learn by doing the study or not, okay? And, you know, you should be somehow, and if there's any other problems that come up over the course of the semester, that's fine, but I'm really more interested in seeing is that you've really thought these things through that you've done, and that I can go back and trust your results. Okay? Does that sound fair?
Yes.
Okay. So now you can go to the class. You get out 3 minutes early. For you, the other guys don't. Okay. But they have the time to go. Okay.
Thanks.
Who's next? Okay, fine. Go. Okay. Go. Let's see. Next one is our market one. You're probably going to be pretty quick. So, right or not? That's enough. Only get to finish in 3 minutes. How many? Okay. Okay. Let's regroup then. Okay. For just to take those. We got through three groups today, and the trouble with getting through three groups is, of course, that we'll be doing this for 4 days. But okay. So let's look at tomorrow, just to sort of, or next class, just to make sure we know who's going to be around. There's market watch tomorrow.
Okay, there's another one who got a raise, right? For dividends. Okay, who else is going tomorrow? Okay, the Tuesday. Okay, so if you are going with respect to financial, so it's fundamental analysis, right? Okay, and shares trading. Okay, I'm holding you to this for shares trading. And then we've got we've got your mutual funds. And we've got diversification. Anybody else? Everybody else can tell you. And bankruptcy. Okay. Okay, so what do we have here? Those all are not going to happen in one day. Does everybody sort of agree with that? Okay, so what I really want, very firmly, is for all of these four to be done next class. Okay, and that means that, and possibly, and the next one, the mutual fund one, ready. Okay, in case in case they finish short. Okay, and, I definitely want this to happen during the day. So we're going to spill over for one more class next week in doing these things. Okay? Any questions? Okay, so that's your attention. Again, try to keep it to 15-ish minutes, plus recognize that there will be discussions. Okay, so it's going to stretch a little bit, but don't come in more than 15 minutes. Thank you. See you next class. Thank you.